Matthew chapter 6, and the 16th verse is where we'll be in just a moment. All right, as you know by now, we've been talking about the pursuit of holiness over the past several weeks as we've looked at several spiritual disciplines to exercise ourselves towards godliness. And you know, I was thinking about it as I was watching TV, yesterday evening, I think there was a basketball game on yesterday, I think, but I'm not sure. But it seemed like I saw two different commercials that said, you know, this one said, 30 minutes a week and you can look like me. And he had this guy that was 48 years old, which is the same age as I am, 48 years old. And he looked, I actually looked like an old 48-year-old man to me. But anyway, but apparently they showed the before and after. And I thought, well, I'd take the before, you know, would be fine too. But 30 minutes a week can help make you do that. And then the commercial I saw later said, just give me 10 minutes with this new P90X or whatever it is. Just give me 10 minutes and you can look like me. I thought, wouldn't it be amazing if physical exercise and physical disciplines was really that easy? Just 10 minutes a day. That's all it takes. How many of you tried that? So just try walking 10 minutes a day. So, you know, you can walk that to your car or something like that. But if it takes that much effort, that much work, to see results as far as physical improvement, we've got the power of God working within us spiritually. But yet the scriptures tell us we need to exercise ourselves towards godliness. And that's where these disciplines come into play. And I hope you've been taking these spiritual disciplines seriously. The biblical intake, the prayer, worship, evangelism, serving. We've talked about all these stewardship, fast. Today we're at fasting. And we only have three left, and we only have 2 weeks left to do it. So actually we'll do silence and solitude next week, which is my personal favorite of the spiritual disciplines. And then we'll do journaling and learning together week after next. And then I'll bring us up to the 25th and our one-on-one challenge. But has any of these made a difference in your life so far? Have you examined any of these spiritual disciplines to see how it is that God would use these disciplines to help to put you in the path of His presence? To know that this is where He can be found. He can be found in prayer. He can be found in worship and evangelism and serving and stewardship and fasting and all these things. He can be found. But yet you're making yourself available to Him. As I thought about it, really, I was thinking about it this morning. It's not really asking us to add a lot of stuff to our day because our days are busy enough already. I noticed a miracle yesterday afternoon about 4:30, 5 o'clock. You may not know it, but there was about, 15 or 20 choir members here practicing choir. And Melissa made a comment at the end of the practice thanking them for giving of their busy schedules. But I was already thinking, this is a miracle in itself to get that many people together on a Saturday evening to practice music for Easter. But it shows a discipline. It shows a burden in their heart for what they're doing. They're not doing it just to have something else to do. They're doing it because it's something they believe God has called them to do. And you're here today for that very same reason. Discipline yourself. Well, today we're going to talk about the discipline of fasting. And now when you think about fasting, maybe a lot of times you don't associate it with even the Christian faith. Maybe you don't associate it with something a Baptist ought to do. You know, that's something some other denominations do, or even some other religions do. With the rise of Islam in our world today, we hear more of fasting from the Islam perspective. We think about fasting as something maybe the Jewish people accomplished and did and still do today. But is it truly something that the Christian ought to have a part of their spiritual disciplines? Should fasting be something that you do? Now, as we go through the text and the outline that you have in your bulletin here today, all these emphases will deal specifically with fasting that involves eating and food. But there certainly are other kind of fastings that we can do. And as we go into this, I want you to be thinking in your mind about areas in which you could fast. I heard at the beginning of each year, it seems like K-Love, the music Christian radio station for our area, one of the Christian radio stations for our area, encourages you to do, a 30-day fast of secular music and just listen to K-Love for 30 days or 90 days, whatever it is. I can't remember exactly what it is, but I've heard some people accepted that challenge, and it's a change of routine. It's doing something different than you normally do. So you can fast music, you can fast TV. You can actually go home tonight and not watch TV instead of watching TV. You can fast in that way. You can fast from your cell phone. You can fast from the internet. Say, Lord, now you've done gone to meddling now. I can't do it, man. can't do that. But you can take something that is a significant part of your life. And by surrendering that time that you would spend in that activity, whatever it may be. Next week, when I read Whitney's book on it, he talked about fasting from people. And I thought, can you pick which people you want to fast from? Sorry, David, I'm fasting you today. No, it doesn't work. But that leads us into next week, the silence and solitude about being alone with God. All people is what it's talking about. There's ways you can fast in that way. So you can't pick which people you want to fast from. It doesn't work that way. But there's all kinds of ways that we can fast. There's all kinds of ways that we can dedicate and focus our attention towards God instead of meeting a need that we typically would meet. And I always thought prior to understanding more about fasting, I just always assumed it involved food and it always involved prayer. Just the first point in the back side of the page deals with the strengthening of prayer. But it's so much more involved than that. So I encourage you to follow along on that sheet that you have. The first half of the sheet is going to go fairly quickly. The back half is where we'll spend most of our time this morning. But first of all, fasting is expected, okay? Fasting is expected in the Scriptures. And we see that in Matthew chapter 6, beginning the 16th verse. It says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you that they had the reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in the secret place, and your the Father who sees in secret, will reward you openly." And may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. You can see from just the wording of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount here that fasting is expected. It starts out with a negative command. It says, well, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, those who pretend to be something they're not. That's what a hypocrite is, one who wears a mask. You're pretending to be something that you're not. They go around with a sad countenance and a disfigured face, and they're going, oh, my goodness, I'm so hungry. I haven't had anything to eat since breakfast this morning. I missed my Snickers bar this afternoon, but I'm doing it for the Lord, and I'm getting godly because of it, and drawing attention to themselves. But yeah, that's not how fasting, that's not the purpose of fasting. That's not the way we are to fast. The negative command is you're not to fast in a way that draws attention to you. The whole point of fasting is to focus more completely on God. So it has a negative command. It tells us how not to do it. And then it has a positive command. Now there's an error on the sheet and the positive is already on there. So you can write the positive command if you'd like to. But when I put in the line, I forgot to take out the word. So there you go. There's a freebie right there. So, but it's a positive command. It says, but when you do fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you don't appear to men to be fasting. So in other words, you carry on your regular routine. You carry on your regular life. You've got that activity going on, but you don't make a scene out of it. But you focus and you don't appear to others as one that's fasting, but you do that secretly and inwardly. You don't go around bragging about it. The Pharisees, I fast twice a day, or twice a week, is what they say. I'm faithful. Look how godly I am and how righteous I am. But yet they're missing the whole point. And so it's a negative command, but it's also a positive command. Matter of fact, it says here, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, this is Matthew 6, 2 and 3, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, for they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, when you give, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Because God knows what is taking place. God knows what is happening. And the question here is the fact that when you give, as it says, when you do a charitable deed, it's not saying if you do a charitable deed, if you give, and when you pray, he says, it's not if you pray. He says when you fast, not if you fast. It's expected, just as giving, just as prayer is expected, fasting is expected as well, just simply by the words that we see in the Scripture. It's a positive command. But there's also a promise associated with it as well, that your Father who sees in secret, when you're fasting, he knows what's going on in your heart and in your life and in your body and what you've surrendered to him. Most assuredly, it says here, that your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That God's going to bless that. And may God add his blessing to our efforts as we come before him. Fasting is expected. How long should we fast? This is not on your sheet, but how long should we fast? Does it have to be from, some people say you're supposed to fast from sun up to sun down. Some say it's a 24-hour period. Well, in scriptures we have these examples. We have part of a day, we have a day, we have one night, we have 3 day, we have 7 day fast, we have a 14-day fast, a 21-day fast, a 40-day fast, and fast of unspecified amount of days. So, okay, the length here is not what is important. The importance is in the discipline of it. Okay? And there's different kinds of fasting found in the scriptures as well. We have a normal fast. This involves not eating of food, but having drink. All right? So you can have water. And when Jesus fasted in the desert for 40 days, it says he ate nothing, but there's no indication in scripture that he didn't drink anything. It was a normal fast. When we fast today in a normal fast, well, we can drink, but we do not eat. That's a normal fast. This is one of the kinds of fasting you see in the scriptures. There's a partial fast where you limit your fasting to a particular type of food. I'm only going to eat, locust and wild honey, John the Baptist or something like that, I'm going to designate just certain things that I'm going to eat during this time. Daniel didn't want to eat of the food that was brought to him. They had requested just a special diet, and that was their fasting. And maybe if you decide to fast for the purpose of godliness and drawing yourself near unto God, you can say, today I'm just going to eat this, I'm just going to eat that, and I'm not going to eat what I typically would eat. But it'd be something that shows a humility. There's an absolute fast, and we see examples of that in at least three different places in the scriptures. And this includes both food and drink. This is anything. Nothing is consumed at all during an absolute fast, and that's a harder fast. They say the body can't survive more than, 3 days or so without water, and then it starts taking its effect on the body. So there's an absolute fast. There's supernatural fast. And these are fasts that go beyond the specified length that a body can normally stand it, but the only way they could survive the supernatural fast is the supernatural intervention that God brought into them and allowed them to fast longer than a body typically would be able to do. All right, a supernatural fast is found in Deuteronomy and in Kings. A private fast, and this is what Christ is talking about here in the Sermon on the Mount, one where it's done in private and in secret. And the times that I've fasted in the past, you're telling me a secret right now. I can't tell you what it is. When I fast in secret. I don't tell people when it's being done at the time, although it may come out in testimony later because some wonderful things have happened when that happens. There's the congregational fast, where the whole congregation was called to fast, or at least part of the congregation was called to fast. And I challenge the church. I could say, I challenge each of you to fast for a specific amount of time. And you decide how much you want to fast for it, but if it's one meal or one day or whatever, and help you pray for someone to come to the one-on-one challenge in just 3 weeks. You challenge the whole congregation to fast over things such as that. A congregational fast over the elections coming up, both in May and in the end of the year as well, the big elections as well. We need to be thinking about that and getting serious about what we're going to do with our right as citizens to vote. A congregational fast took place. There's national fast, where the whole country was called to fast over specific issues. And we see that in Nehemiah, we see it in Esther, and we even see it in Jonah, of all places, that the whole nation was called to fast. There were U.S. presidents that have declared national fast. Did you know that? Here's a choice right here. Was it John Adams or George Bush Sr.? What do you think? John Adams. All right. You're right. All right. Good answer. All right. Here's another one. Bill Clinton or James Madison? James Madison. James Madison is right. That's right. All right. And here's another one. This is a tricky one. All right. If you already know it, don't answer it. Ronald Reagan or Abraham Lincoln? Abraham Lincoln, 3 times he called for a national fast. You know, isn't it kind of amazing, though, how long ago these fasts were called versus even now? You know, it's a national fast. And I think the whole nation should be in prayer. But is it going to happen? I don't know. Is the president going to call for it? I don't know. But there's different kind of fasts. And there's a regular fast. That's something that occurred once a year. That's in Leviticus, is speaking of the Day of Atonement, a regular fast, or something that was on the calendar and something that was scheduled. And that's the main one we see in the Scriptures. And then occasional fasts, so special purposes. Maybe for election, that'd be an occasional fast. You're doing it for the specific person purpose, for something, an event that is coming up. But fasting is to be done for a purpose. And that's what we see on the second page of your sheet. And this is what we're going to look at more at in depth here. Fasting is to be done for a specific purpose. If you're thinking about fasting, if you think about the spiritual discipline of fasting, think of these. First of all, one is to strengthen prayer. To strengthen your prayers. And I was always taught, when you fast, every time you hear a hunger, if you feel a hunger pain, that's a reminder that you need to pray. And I did. I said, Lord, I'm hungry. Anyway, or something along those lines. No, it just reminded me, okay, I'm supposed to be doing something with hunger. I'm supposed to be learning from this hunger today. I need to be in prayer right now. And that would be your call to prayer, to strengthen prayer. Ezra said this, so we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. So Ezra is leading the exiles into Jerusalem, and there's a big task ahead of them, and he wants to be dedicated in his prayer. If you want to be dedicated to your prayer strengthened, you've got a big task ahead of you. I would encourage fasting as a way to strengthen your prayer, as they had done. Strengthen your prayer through fasting. Secondly, to seek God's guidance. To seek God's guidance is another purpose for prayer. And we have Israel getting ready for battle here. It says, so all the children of Israel, that is, all the people, went up and came to the house of God and wept. And they sat there before the Lord and fasted that day till evening. So the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I yet again go out and battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease? And God responds, says, you should do it, and I will empower you. He gave them the direction that they needed. And this was after a couple of times of failures. They entreated God. They asked God for guidance. How many times have you had to ask God for guidance? How many times have you come to the point of fasting and you're asking God for guidance? I know a lot of people over the past couple of years have had very uncertain job situations, and they have been in prayer about that. Have they taken it to the point of even fasting over it and thinking, asking themselves to ask God, okay, God, what would you truly have me to do in this situation? I know you're going to provide, but how are you going to provide, and what do I need to do to be in obedience to you? All right? To seek God's guidance is a great time for fasting. To express grief. This is after the death of King Saul and Jonathan. It says David took hold of his own clothes and tore them, and he did all the men that were with him, and they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord and the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. And I know sometimes in grief you don't feel like eating, but that's not exactly what I'm talking about in fasting, because it's a conscious decision to do without this so that you can focus on God. And ask God to help you through this time of grief. We've seen national tragedies. We've seen tragedies just this past week in schools in our country. Once again, it strikes. And we should be grieving over all the chaos and commotion that we see in our world, and the presence of sin and the presence of evil in our world. Is it so flagrant all around us today? But yet oftentimes we don't grieve over the sin. We don't grieve over things that we really ought to be grieving over. We make light of things a lot more than we should. To express grief is another way. To seek deliverance or protection. To seek deliverance or protection. King Jehoshaphat was preparing for an attack from outsiders, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judea. All right, so we got like a national fast here, isn't it? So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. They were there looking for deliverance. They were seeking God's deliverance and his protection. And I know there's times in our life that we feel like there's no way that we can be delivered from the situation that we're in, but God can do that. If you just get serious about your prayers, if you get serious about your relationship with God and trusting God truly with all your heart and life, it can make a difference in your life. Another way, another purpose for fasting is to express repentance and to return to God. To express repentance and turn to God. Return to God. Repentance. Not to express excuses, but express repentance and return to God. All right, it means we acknowledge the fact that we were wrong. Israel did that, and we see it in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 6. It says, so they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. We have sinned against the Lord. How many times have you said that? I have sinned against you, Lord. Or how many times we've said, such and such made me sin against you. It's never our own fault, is it? There's always another reason why we've done whatever it is that we've done. Well, can we ever just humble ourselves and be so honest before God and say, God, okay, I messed up this time. Please forgive me. And maybe fasting will reveal that to you. You know, sometimes in the heat of the moment, it's hard to make rational decisions. It's very hard sometimes. Sometimes we need that silence and solitude like we'll talk about next week, that meditation that we talked about earlier. We need the fasting to truly analyze and let the Spirit of God work through us to bring us to a certain state where we are now. To express repentance and return to God. To humble oneself before God. To humble oneself before God. Is it a humbling experience to fast? I think it is. And so did several people in the Scriptures. I got a couple of examples. One of them is not the most heroic person we see in the Scripture, Ahab, by no means. But yet even in Ahab, he heard the words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth on his body, and he fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, see how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house. He says that one of the most evil people we see in the Scriptures. But yet God saw the humility demonstrated in this case. Think about the people of Nineveh. Jonah went to let them have it. And then what did they do? They repented. They humbled themselves before God. And God spared them, at least at that time. The calamity came. So we've got somebody like that can humble themselves before God. And then, of course, we've got David. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was in sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. He fasted as well. A man with a heart of God. What a wonderful example and what a wonderful picture of humbling ourselves before the Lord. To humble oneself before God. To express concern for the work of God. How many of you think that's worthy of fasting? To express concern for the work of God. Are you concerned about the work of God? Are you concerned about what God wants you to do right here in this place, in this community where He has placed you even now? Are you concerned about the work that He has? Are you concerned about the lost? Are you concerned about all the worldliness that's going on out there? Are you concerned about the rise of the world religions? I didn't even know. And I pass it, I don't know how many times a day, just down here by the Mexican restaurant. There's an Islamic center down there. And somebody told me, if you go by the right time of the day, you know, it's packed with cars overflowing in the grass and everything else, so they come in for their prayers. But we've got all kind of world religions popping up all over the place, and they teach doctrines that are contrary to the Scriptures and contrary to the living God that we know revealed in the Scriptures. And we have a big task ahead of us. And God has blessed us to be a church family that we can come together and we can minister to one another and minister to our community. But do you express concern for the work that God has placed in your lives and in our lives? Nehemiah says the survivors were left in captivity in the province, and now they're in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem was also broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned, and for many days I was fasting and praying before God, the God of heaven. When have you been that concerned about the work of God and the mission that God has placed us here in Morrisville and the privilege He's placed us here in Morrisville to have such an opportunity to make an impact on so much of the world, even just right here around us? To fast over the concern and the work of God. Deacons, I hope you would take this serious as we come together monthly and we talk about what God has placed us here for and what God is wanting us to do. I hope you're thinking this seriously about the concern and the work of God has for this place. To minister to the needs of others. And this is one of the most intensive sections on fasting in Isaiah chapter 58. But here's just a portion of it. It says something in that upper left corner. Is not the fast that I have chosen to loose the bonds of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you may break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you may bring into your house the poor who are cast out? And when you see the naked, that you cover them and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Is it not the fast? Is this not the mode that he has used to bring this to their attention, to open their eyes, to see what has taken place all around them, to see the needs of those that are around you? Folks, if you are fasting and praying for this purpose, if you take, if you miss a meal next week to focus on the needs of those that are around you, it will draw your attention to it. You will see it, and God will show you ways that you can be an effective minister to others, to minister to the needs of others. In Matthew chapter 4, we see where Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. I don't have that passage up on the screen, but you're familiar with it, where he was called into the wilderness and tempted for 40 days, and Satan tempted him three times. But this purpose is to overcome temptation. As it says, he himself was tempted, although he did not fall. He stood on his own word to overcome the wiles of the devil there. And to dedicate yourself towards God. And Christ himself is a demonstration of that, as we read in the book of Matthew. And the last one was to express love and worship to God. To express love and worship to God. We spoke about worship already as a spiritual discipline, and I truly believe that that is the case. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 37, we see a woman named Anna. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. And did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Oh, in her younger days, she was married for, about 7 years or something, I think it was. And then God placed her, and she served in the temple in fasting. And that was her worship to the Lord. Can you see that as worship? That's a wonderful picture. Can you see all this as bringing you closer to God? All these specific needs, all these purposes associated with fasting, and how you can apply that to your life, and how they help nourish you spiritually in your walk with God. It's bound to make a difference if you surrender yourself and submit yourself to a discipline such as this. But there is a warning, and fasting is to be done with a purpose, but God will not bless the practice of any discipline, including fasting, when we reject His word regarding relationships with others. All right? God will not bless the practice of any discipline, including fasting, when we reject His word regarding relationships with others. You know, we can't go about talking about how being bitter and hateful and inappropriate with relationships with other people and claim that we love God. We can't talk about how disciplined we are and how much we pray and how much we read the Bible and how much we journal and how much we spend in silence and solitude and how much we give and all these other things. But we forsake our relationship with others, and we are in inappropriate relationships with others, and bitterness is ruling our lives. We've got to make sure the whole package is complete. This is not just like 10 easy steps to godliness. That's not what it is about at all. It's letting God, allowing God to work in your life, to change your life. And as your attitude toward Him changes, your attitude towards others should change as well. And then you can fulfill those great commandments of loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. So don't think it's going to do any good whatsoever. It's like saying, I'm going to lose a lot of weight and get in shape, and I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week, and you're still going to eat at Bojangles four times a day, or whatever I happen to be eating there right now. So it doesn't work. The whole package comes together. And it's about subjection to your body, as Paul talks about. Not one fighting into the air, but bringing your body into subjection. Letting the Spirit of God control your life. And that includes your life with others as well and your relationship with others as well. Oftentimes, I think we leave that part out. Oh, we do church. Good. I go to church all the time. I'm faithful. You know, I'm there all the time. But yet, we live like the devil when we go outside of the doors. And we wonder, what's wrong with our testimony? Why aren't we drawing people to the Lord? Don't people want to be just like me? Well, no. Because there's no evidence of change in your life. But yet, if we allow these disciplines to melt together with His own Word, and we let the Word of God speak, as the song said just a little while ago, we'll see that evidence. We'll see that change in our life. It's God transforming our lives through His Spirit and His Word, teaching us, showing us, demonstrating to us what godliness truly looks like and holiness truly looks like. Conclusion. Will you confess and repent from any fear of fasting? That's an odd statement, all right? But it's so powerful. If we think of fasting as a genuine spiritual discipline, and it is expected, we see it in the Scripture. How many of you are a little worried about it? I don't know about all that kind of stuff, Pastor. Let's preach and pray. Let's preach and pray and pay. There we go. Got to take up money. We're Baptist. And eat, right? We're Baptist too. We got to do that. Let's just do that. I don't know about all this fasting stuff. That just don't sound right. Well, it's in the Scriptures, and I've given you all these purposes already demonstrated in the Scripture. Look how many Scripture references are on your sheet today. Isn't that amazing? On both sides. I mean, it's packed. The Scriptures are packed with passages that deal with this issue. So to deny it is to deny a large chunk of Scripture. Would you confess and repent from any fear of fasting? I don't know that that's what I should do. We've got to get past that. And we need to embrace this in your own way. I'm not saying go home and not eat anything today. You can start tomorrow. That's the best diet. Start tomorrow anyway, right? You can do it whenever you want to do it. Do it whenever God knows that you're doing it and don't let anybody else know. You can actually use a fasting of lunch. You can say, you know what? Next Wednesday, I'm not going to eat lunch, and I'm going to use that time. I'm going to fast my lunch. I'm going to use that time to build a relationship with somebody else. I'm going to do something I've been putting off. I'm going to go to that nursing home and visit that lady I've been meaning to go see. I'm going to fast. I'm going to give up something important to do something important. There's so many things that you can do, so many things you've been putting off in your own spiritual life that you need to do. I haven't had time to read the Scriptures. Well, skip a lunch and read the Scriptures if you haven't been able to do it. There's a lot of ways you can apply this, but you've got to get over this fear first. Will you confess and repent from any fear of fasting? And will you fast as the Holy Spirit directs? Don't let me just stand up here and tell you what to do. I'm not proclaiming a congregational fast today. Although I like the idea of it, maybe we'll do that as we get closer to like elections and all these other things that are going on and major emphasis in our church. But will you fast as the Holy Spirit directs? In other words, if you truly felt the Holy Spirit leading you to do it, would you say yes? That's why that question is asking. Will you plan a fast of dedication now as an expression of your willingness to fast from now on? Will you make up your mind even right now? As God is dealing with your heart, I'm going to plan a specific amount of time. It's up to you and God. I'm going to plan a fast of dedication just to show you, Lord, that I'm willing to make this a part of my disciplined life as a disciple of Christ. Would you be willing to do that? I think God can make a difference in your life if you would. The pursuit of holiness, the discipline of fasting is something real and something we should be a part of.